Sammy, how are you?
Hey, Tom, good morning. I'm great. How about yourself?
Good. You're very good at being quiet when you're live on the other phone.
No problem.
So now's your time to make all the noise you want.
So it's a very busy time right now at the legislature, and environmental issues are in the forefront. There's a whole bunch of things going on at the level, at the DEEP level, the DECD level, and in the legislature itself. So if you want, Tom, I can run through what some of those are and hopefully encourage folks to get involved.
Yeah, and before you go, Sam is a licensed environmental professional. He's a gifted environmental fellow. I think you're a geologist, and he's with the BL Companies in Meriden, longtime sponsor of the Hills Gallery Show and Special Edition Saturday here. So take it away, Sam.
Yeah, thank you. And just for your audience, the Licensed Environmental Professional Program was put in place back in the late 90s, and LEPs, as we're called, are essentially deputies of DEEP. We have the authority through our license to investigate and clean up properties and achieve compliance with Connecticut's regulations. And yes, I've been an LEP since the first class in 1997, and I've been here at BL Companies for 21 years. So there's a lot going on at the DEEP level. They are trying to revise our remediation standard regulations. There were working groups and public hearings over the summer to introduce two elements of change in those regulations. One is called the Wave 2 amendments to the remediation standard regulations, and the second are changes to the environmental use restrictions. The goal of the department is to try to facilitate cleaning and closing sites and getting them compliant with our regulations. I've been involved in the public hearings. I'm also on the board of directors for the Environmental Professionals Organization of Connecticut, which is the group for the LEPs to be professional members of, sort of their organizational group. And so we stay abreast of these issues, and we comment on these issues, and we try to work with DEEP to create improvements to the process. As many of your audience members may know, the process of investigating and cleaning up properties in Connecticut can be time-consuming, very expensive, and often has a chilling effect on the transfer of real estate, which I know is near and dear to your heart, Tom.
Well, it's an economic issue. And talk to the folks a little bit when they look around their town and see closed factories, old buildings that have been decrepit and dark for years, and how you fit into that and how the DEEP and the Connecticut Transfer Act fits into that subject.
Sure. Yeah, the brownfield sites in Connecticut. You know, Connecticut, we're a state that used to make just about everything, but as a lot of that work got moved overseas, we have a lot of dark factories and a lot of land that people are afraid to touch. They're afraid to buy because they don't know what the risks are for potential environmental cleanup and liability. So the state of Connecticut has done a lot of things that has tried to make that process better. Over the past few years, there have been several bills specifically related to brownfields that have helped make it easier to investigate and remediate brownfields, and most importantly, to limit the liability of buyers of these properties so that they come in, they may have an obligation to complete the cleanup, but they can be indemnified against third-party liability from neighboring property owners or residents in the town who feel like those old factory sites might have caused them negative harm or property damage. But, you know, one of the biggest sticking points in Connecticut's cleanup process has always been the Connecticut Transfer Act and our environmental regulations. And the Connecticut Transfer Act has a very bad reputation as one that kills deals and prevents properties from trading. People are afraid to get involved in properties that have to go through the process.
And so, Sam, we've worked on a lot of properties together. And it's Tom Hill here with Sam Haydock from the BL Companies. I'm in for Steve today. We've worked on a lot of mom and pop properties, little gas stations, garages, etc. And people who want to retire, I think you've talked about how much it costs for even mom and pops to qualify or come together with the Transfer Act for time and money. Do you remember those numbers, or should I spit them out?
No, go ahead. Spit them out.
I think you told us at one of our seminars the average cost for a mom and pop to transfer the right way with DEP is $125,000 and 2 or 3 years' time to get the property actually sold. Am I right on that estimate?
Yeah, it can. That's probably a good average. Just the process of investigating these properties can be very costly. And then if, in fact, there have been significant releases of petroleum or metals or cleaning solvents or things that, you know, you might find at an auto body shop or a dry cleaner, it's not uncommon to have some of these sites get into the mid six figures, and in the really bad cases can easily top $1 million to clean up these properties. So it can have a real chilling effect on a mom-and-pop business owner who was planning on selling their business. That was their retirement plan. They were going to get the capital, the money from that sale and retire, and it can be very difficult. It's definitely can be a very difficult and time-consuming process that creates a lot of heartache for a lot of people.
It's also very damaging to the grand list in your town for property taxes and paying the city's bills.
So, you know, and one of the issues Connecticut has is we have 16 or 17 environmental statutes that create six or seven or maybe even eight different environmental programs. And all these programs have different entry points and different exit points. And there's no the effect of all of that is it creates an uneven playing field. So you can have a property that truly is contaminated and truly is blighted and really is a threat to the neighborhood. And if it doesn't trade, if it's not under order by the DEEP or it's not going through the Transfer Act, it can just sit there abandoned for years. Whereas you have other properties that really don't have any real issues. They're just because of the type of business they have, they get forced to go through the Transfer Act, and then you have all the type of dollars we were just talking about that have to be expended to try to get through, and so it is a problem. So what's happening right now is that in addition to the changes to the regulations that I talked about, the Wave 2 and the environmental use restriction changes, those are working their way through the legislative process right now. There are also two other bills. There was a public act passed last session that made some minor changes to the Transfer Act, but what it also required was the establishment of a working group to make additional recommendations for change this session. So that work group, and I was on it, we met 15 times or so over the course of the summer. The working group report on Transfer Act changes just came out last week, and there's now a bill. It's Senate Bill 281, an act concerning various revisions to the property transfer law. That is now out there for the changes, they're not earth-shattering, but they're moving things in the right direction. They're going to be changes to the definition of what is and what is not a transfer under the establishment and trying to clarify that. More importantly, there's changes about what you have to do, what is an establishment, in particular when you're talking about multi-tenant properties like shopping centers and industrial condominiums where you have common interest properties.
And Waterbury's full of shopping centers. Who are the sponsors of SB 281, Sam?
So I believe that SB 281 is both Commerce and Environment, sponsored by both committees. Commerce is Joan Hartley, and Environment is Christine Cohen. I believe those are the chairs. And there's a second bill. So changing, making some revisions to the Transfer Act is a step in the right direction. More importantly, there's a bill right now that's been introduced, Senate Bill 293, and this is an act which would establish a release-based property remediation program. And the idea there is, I talked about all those different statutes and all those different programs.
Yep.
The idea is to create a uniform environmental statute that instead of cleanup being triggered by a transaction the impetus for a cleanup and the process for doing cleaning properties up and investigating is all based on whether or not you've had a release. So if you've spilled something, then you have to investigate it and remediate it. This would be more in line with what Massachusetts has under their environmental program. And the hope is that if this process can be put in place, and the goal is to have the release-based program take effect by July 1st, 2022. And with that would be the sunset of the property transfer law. So that's Senate Bill 293, and I believe that that is coming out of just the Environment Committee. So again, that would be Christine Cohen. I think Craig Miner is maybe vice chair of the Environment Committee. And so there are public hearings on both of these scheduled for Thursday, March 5th at 12 o'clock in room 1E of the Legislative Office Building. And I would tell you that from the standpoint of the Environmental Professionals Organization, the EPOC group that I'm on the board for, that we support the revisions to the Transfer Act. We think that they are moving in the right direction. We are working very closely with the Commissioner of DEEP and the Commissioner of DECD on what the actual statute and the bill for the release-based program is going to look like.
Sam, I got to stop you. You are fabulous at explaining all this gobbledygook, and yep. That's why you're an LEP, and that's why you train us. I want you to hold on a second. I'm going to play a couple commercials, and we're going to pay the bills. I'm going to come right back and let you explain a little further, right back with more with Sam Haydock from the BL Companies. Talk of the town, we go back to Sam Haydock. Sam, you said you had two bills. The first one was SB 281, and the second one was SB 293. Do you have a preference yet, or is this still a work in progress?
Yeah, so as I said before, SB 281, which is the concerning the Transfer Act revisions, we're in favor of. SB 293 is the act establishing the release-based property remediation program, and there was draft language released a couple days ago. Another version of it was released yesterday. The issue we have with it is the statute is written right now is conceptual only and is seriously lacking in specifics of what the release-based program will be, what the triggers will be for. First, it has to start with some very basic fundamentals. What is a release? What do you have to do? What are your reporting obligations for different types of releases? What kind of cleanup do you have to do for different types of releases? And then what do you have to do to close out the release? And right now, the bill as drafted is seriously lacking in specifics. And it basically says that we're going to create a release-based reporting program, and in the next 2.5 years, we're going to develop the regulations that will support that program so it can be put in place by July 1, 2022. The bill, and we've had meetings with Commissioner Dykes and Commissioner Lehman over the last several days. We've been part of several meetings, and we're emphasizing and going to be working with them. There's some work group sessions this afternoon to create some of those specifics. The statute absolutely needs to be specific about what this program is and what it will look like. They cannot simply say, we'll tell you what it's going to look like in 2022. That would be a disaster.
I agree. So, I agree completely.
Hopefully, between now and the end of the session, we can get the specifics in there. The alternative is that they pass legislation that says that there's work groups have been established to create the release-based reporting program with a goal of having legislation and regulations in place by the next session. That is the preference of the two commissioners, is to push this thing through. I believe they've made a commitment to the governor to do so. And we want to help them try to make that happen, but we cannot let a bad bill go through. So it's to be determined whether we will fully support this. It depends on what happens over the next few weeks.
Now, you've done a nice job at uncomplicating this stuff. Could you give a couple of sentences that people can call their legislators, state senators, state representatives, and at least alert them to look at SB 281? And what could people say to their legislators in a simple manner, to get some assistance behind our groups that want to help revise the Transfer Act with SB 281?
Yeah, I think SB 281 should be supported. The changes that are proposed, it doesn't include everything we asked for. We asked for some additional changes that DEEP was unwilling to agree to at this point. But as written, SB 281 is a good start, and everyone, I think, should support its passage and enactment. On SB 293, I think the jury is out, and I think people, if they're going to be speaking with their local legislators and representatives, they should be expressing concern that if the program gets put in place, that it has to be fully thought out with the full support of the environmental professional community.
Now, Sam, besides an LEP, you're a partner at the employee-owned company of BL. Would you give us a 30-second commercial on BL companies and the services you provide? Because we really appreciate you at WATR. You've been sponsoring my show for 10 years.
Yeah, and we love your show, Tom, and we love you. And we are engineers, architects, environmental consultants, and surveyors. We'll do everything related to land development, engineering, architecture, design, permitting. If the property is dirty, we can investigate it and clean it up. So we work in Connecticut, but we have 14 other offices around the country, and we do work nationwide. And in addition to doing land development work, we do roads and bridges and public infrastructure, and we also work in the energy market where we're designing electric transmission lines, gas pipelines, substations, and things of that nature.
Wow.
We're 300 people. We're employee-owned. We're very proud to be employee-owned, and we're a great group.
Phone number and website.
So website would be www.blcompanies.com, and I can be reached at 203-314-7369.
Repeat.
203-314-7369.
Sam Haydock, LEP, thanks for appearing on Talk of the Town today.
Great, Tom. Thank you very much. Have a great day.